Was this before the Alaska Department of Highways was merged to the larger?
That's right.
Okay, so this was before that happened.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about then, after the Parks Highway Project in Juneau, what was starting to happen in the interior?
Well, and of course, the Swanson River oil was discovered in Swanson River in the late 50s, so that was being developed at the time, smaller fields offshore. So there was a lot of, relatively new technology being developed at that time for the inlet. There were ice forces, things like that. But then the discovery of oil on North Slope, and I think it was 68 or 69, I can't remember the exact date. And so that meant that they had to get access somehow up there. They began building the road north from Livengood to the Yukon River. There was a road to Livengood at the time. And so that was pushed through by Burgess Construction. R&M Consultants was formed at the time to be the engineer on that road and design the road.
Now,
so that's how that worked.
To clarify, there was a road prior to what is the Hall Road, then renamed Dalton Highway.
Mm-hmm.
So clarify what road you're talking about.
This road extended from Livengood north to the Yukon River. It was built in 1969. It was the first access road to get to the Yukon.
And then the road after, there's two stages going on.
Right.
What stage were you involved in?
Well, following that 1969 effort, said I was still working for the state till 1972. So I was up there in early 1971. We were drilling some of the crossings, geotechnical work for the Yukon. We'd made a number of trips up there, and we'd looked at quite a number of alignments. And some of this information shows you all the holes that were drilled, but a lot of them, people don't realize how many were drilled. And eventually we decided on an alignment that had the bedrock under the river so that we could anchor the piers against the large ice forces.
So your role was primarily designing for the Yukon Bridge?
Right. It's, of course, 13th largest river in the world. And at this particular site, it was about 2,000 feet across the water part. The bridge is half mile long or so. And it was a kind of an incised channel. And the pipeline either had to cross there somehow, either underwater or over the bridge. Well, underwater in that bedrock and that difficulty was going to be a challenge that they finally decided would be too difficult.
Tell me a little bit about the nature of the Yukon River that made it a challenge that's different maybe from some of the rivers in the lower 48 so people can just understand.
Well, 5 feet of ice coming at you in the breakup in the spring. That was
interesting.
5 feet thick. That was a design ice thickness. Normally, it would be not quite that thick, maybe 3-4 feet thick. But large ice forces coming at you is a challenge. You had a enormous flood potential, the rise potential, something on the order of 80 feet, 60, 80 feet water rise potential on flooding at that particular site. The ocean bed was around elevation 240, and the peak flood is elevation 315. So you subtract that off, and well, you get 75 feet or something like that. Water rise, that's how much it could rise. And following that, it would scour clear to the bottom of the rock. So in other words, you had gravel and stream bed material overlying bedrock, but that would all go away in a big flood. And so you had to support the piers on something that was, pretty substantial. And that's why we were looking for bedrock when we drilled across there. That's where we found it.